League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yes, everyone. What is going on? My name is Stephen Howson. This is Stretford Paddock, and this is Howson's Having a Brew. This is the second one that I got made because I've been sitting here for that long waiting for to go live that I had to go and get a new brew made because it went cold.
Mine's cold.
This is my second one as well, to be fair. And I've almost finished it.
Mine was pricey as well. £3.
Anyway, today I am joined by Patrick and I'm also joined by Cameron as well. Thank you for joining us, lads. Cameron is a Chelsea fan. So we thought we'd get him on to talk about Chelsea a little bit because Cameron is the guy that does a lot of my production. So
I don't know whether they'll appreciate that.
No, I don't know if they'll appreciate that, but he's the guy that's usually pressing the buttons and doing all the recording and the editing and stuff like that. So we thought, well, it's the Chelsea game week. We thought we'd get on and have a bit of a chat. Who's going to last longer? Frank Lampard or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
I mean, he's the right answer to this as well.
Well, so for you guys, it is. I don't know. I think Frank Lampard would be given more time than any other Chelsea manager.
Oh, so about 11 months.
I don't think he's though.
No, because of his legacy and stuff, I think that he'll be kept on. And there's no transfers. He'll definitely last this full season. And you can't do worse than 10th. And when we finished 10th last time, the next season we won the league. So if he finishes 10th this season, we might win the league next season.
That doesn't work like that.
You know, you never
definitely,
know.
Definitely but doesn't work like that.
I don't know. Me and you have debates in the office. I say debates. You tell me, usually.
It tells us everything.
When you always say Frank Lampard's shit, all this stuff, and I'm like, if you have a look at what Solskjaer did, and it's sort of like the honeymoon period, wasn't it? I reckon you'll get that with Frank Lampard. So I think we'll put in a decent performance against you lot.
Right, but Tammy Abraham's leading the line for you.
I don't think he will. I reckon Giroud will start against United.
Okay, then in that case, Giroud's leading the line for you.
Yeah, it's not great. our striking...
And you've lost Eden Hazard.
And didn't you lose to Dundalk? And then you also lost to some Japanese side as well.
Yeah, but you can't, do this.
We can. I think you find out it's exactly what we're doing.
That's why you're in the middle. So we can get to
if you have a look at okay, so if we're talking about our pre-season, then if you have a look at Ross Barkley, looks completely different. And I know you probably laugh at me or whatever, but he looks like a completely different player. Like Frank Lampard, that midfield under Frank Lampard would be 100% better than it was under Sarri, Sarri ball and all that.
Hang on, why?
It's just right. It's highly influential. One of the best midfielders that's ever played.
Okay, that is irrelevant.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to say it like that.
But it is irrelevant.
No, but clearly not, because obviously Ross Barkley, if you have a look at him, hit the pass he made to Pedro, where Pedro did this back heel like wonder goal. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really good. No United goal has been better than that this preseason. And I've seen all the United goals, unfortunately.
Andrew Gomez.
Gomez
as well, pretty sick.
Ross Barkley looks completely different. Pulisic obviously has a lot to live up, because we've understood that Eden Hazard is going in the summer, which he did. And we bought Pulisic as a replacement for that. So there's obviously something that the club's seen in Pulisic that reminds them of Eden Hazard in a way. But Eden Hazard's come out and said he's a brilliant player, blah, blah, blah. Pulisic has said he's there not to replace the legacy of Eden Hazard. He's just there to be himself, which I think is a very media-trained answer.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'll want to live up to the likes
answer
of Eden
this.
Hazard.
Are you a better starting 11 or a worse starting 11 without Eden Hazard?
A worse.
Okay. Is Frank Lampard...
That's like me saying, are you a better starting 11 or a worse than Paul Pogba?
So I'm just saying. And we'd absolutely not be, I don't think. But also then, on that front, is Frank Lampard a better or worse manager than Sarri?
Sarri's only won one honour.
Which is 100% more than Frank Lampard?
Currently, yes. Well,
okay.
Managerial honours, yes.
I mean, because you go, oh, Solskjaer did blah, blah, blah.
Solskjaer
won titles with a team that had never won titles.
With Solskjaer, right, so he comes to United and he has this honeymoon period, and I was here for that, unfortunately, as well. I've been, you know, the last year or so. So United played really well under Solskjaer. Obviously, you lift the spirits, which something that Sarri didn't have was the fans. So the fans are going to be buzzing. The players are going to be buzzing for like someone with that sort of legacy of the club to come back in. And he'll have that honeymoon period that Solskjaer had. And then sort of Solskjaer's sort of honeymoon period ended and he sort of trailed off towards the end of the season. And if I remember, the last video you did, United Review, was thank God this is over. So there will be a time. There will be a time in the season where Frank Lampard's like tenor is like, oh, this is a bit dodgy, this, isn't it? But like, you've got to expect that.
But he's with the guy that he's fired more people than Alan Sugar. Like, his favourite thing in the world is sacking people. Literally.
Abramovich, not Lampard.
Yeah.
It's sacking people and oil. Those are
the two
things.
And blatantly racist tweets on Twitter.
I think he's been told.
But you got away with how to get away with that?
I think Frank Lampard's been told.
Not that I want to get away with that. I'm just asking.
I think Frank Lampard's been told, like, you'll get time because, one, you can't sign anyone. So your team technically can't get any better. Okay? So you're going to have to use the youth. And the assistant manager now is Joni Morris. And he was the under-18s coach. So all the players who he was coaching and whatnot, bringing through the system, who probably should have featured a bit more than Callum Hudson-Odoi, whatever, like two or three appearances last season in the Premier League. He'll now feature more. Joni Morris knows how to use these players because if I'm not wrong, it used to be Chelsea and United's youth teams used to battle it out for like everything, basically.
City came into it quite prominently recently, but I think the tide's turning a little bit on that because the pathway into the first team has been blocked and people at 17 or 18 are now getting a little bit smarter and going...
Yeah, you saw what Jadon Sancho
City basically invested massively in the facilities there, and therefore people went, oh, yeah, facilities are ridiculous. It's where it's basically a city of just academy football, which is mental. But they're paying people to come up and live in Manchester.
But do you not also think then, if you're speaking about Frank Lampard in this sense, do you not think that the same could happen at the end of Solskjaer's like sort of reign last season? Could that not begin the same?
I think there's factors at play in here that are probably never going to really fully get made public, but I think a lot of the reason why Lukaku came back into the team was to preserve his resale value, which is I wonder how much of this I'm going to call it like board influence. Like sometimes you know that players get played when they need a contract.
When you hear that the board picks the starting 11 for some clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah, which influence. Paul Scholes resigned at the back, at Oldham back off, so you know that it does happen.
It's like Rojo playing against AC Milan. Why is he playing? He's in the shop window.
So these elements of that, was there an element of, look, we know this season's game over, which I don't agree with because I still thought we could have definitely got into the top four with results.
I know it's marginal, but you get more money for the higher you get.
You do.
So I don't think that's the case for any football.
But I also don't think that it was like pick Lukaku and we'll lose. I genuinely think everyone thought pick. And I don't want to pick Lukaku out here. But there were several people that were playing games that you just go.
Well, you were hoping for like Greenwood, Angel to get a game.
Yeah.
They didn't get a game, did they? Last game. So I don't know.
I think Solskjaer got to the end of the season and he was telling people, you're off record, more or less, that the fitness of the players just wasn't there to play the game that I wanted to play. Yeah. And we've seen the metrics from pre-season.
You were there, weren't you? So you saw them, how hard they were training and stuff.
Well, they did three drills. The three drills they did were three pressing drills, which is just...
Which I think is going to be interesting as well on Sunday. Is Frank Lampard's... He plays a 4-2-3-1 pressing formation. Solskjaer plays a counter-attack pressing formation. I reckon we'll have more of the ball and you'll take the counter-attacking rather than you. So you'll be pressing us. But I think when we lose the ball, we'll have, from what I've seen, because obviously I've only seen a few because a lot of our pre-season game clashed with when I was in here.
Yeah.
When we lose the ball, immediately press as a team. Not just like the person who loses the ball just goes and runs after it. Everyone like pushes over to that corner.
I haven't seen a minute of Chelsea.
No, honestly, I've watched a lot of Chelsea trying to do this tactical preview for the game, and I watched the Barcelona game in particular, and the pressing is very obvious. And the other thing that's obvious, which he brought from Derby, and the other thing he brought from Derby is a lot of creativity out on the wings.
Yeah,
so
sort of inside forwards.
Jorginho, Kante pick up the ball, and I do think that actually Chelsea midfield will be better than it was last season because you can play Kante in the right position, right? Which is major.
I think from last season, Kante and Jorginho will just swap their sort of roles.
Exactly.
Kante will become the sort of box-to-box, like, ball-winning midfielder he is, and Jorginho will start to get those, like, cutting the passes through.
Well, it made no... I mean, it made very little sense to have Jorginho with the defensive responsibilities when you've got someone like Kante and you're trying to put a round peg in a square hole with Kante moved a bit further forward, where you go, hang on, if we just move Kante back to the place he likes to be, you would free up Jorginho from the defensive responsibilities. And the passing ability of the guy is not in question.
I think what Sarri must have seen in Kante, which everyone else also saw but then realised... he's not as good in that position, was just the amount of stamina Kante has.
A machine.
He can just run and run. So Sarri was like, oh, he could be a great box-to-box midfielder who could try and score.
But he's also probably one of the best defensive midfielders in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, he's probably top two, top three defensive midfielders in the world.
Yeah, McTominay.
It was a debate about that. And Matic, obviously. Yeah, definitely.
I'm fucking joking for anyone who picks up the series. Jesus.
Them two pick up the ball, and then they spread it out wide. And all the creativity takes place outside, and you have Pulisic in particular cut inside.
I don't know what to expect from him.
So Ross Barkley, he's supposed to go up to one of the wings, basically collect the ball, and then Pulisic cuts inside into the space that Barkley would have created. And so a lot of the creative pressure's on Barkley.
I think
Giroud will drop back deeper to help them out, and it's Pulisic and the other winger who push forward as the attacking.
I think they'll cut inside a lot as well, as the inside forwards, which will drag Wan-Bissaka in. And then if you have Emerson,
makes a tackle a bit further.
If you have, because Wan-Bissaka plays on the right, so you'll have Emerson left back, I think, because I don't think Alonso's cutting it. And then I think you'll have Pulisic or Pedro, probably Pulisic. So if Pulisic comes in, he'll drag Wan-Bissaka in. So who've you got on your right wing?
That's the million-dollar question that we're all trying to figure
Rashford,
out.
So if it's Rashford, is he going to track back and cover Emerson?
It won't be Rashford.
Rashford will be playing up front.
It won't be Rashford. Rashford would track back.
The thing is, whoever you play on your right needs to track.
I think it'd be Lingard. So for that reason, actually.
Because Emerson is an attacking forward. If Wan-Bissaka comes in, the ball goes straight back out to Emerson. And if Wan-Bissaka's in here, he needs to come back. Yeah. And if Jesse's not there covering, then it's another one. It's a 1-2 situation, basically.
I think the game's won and lost.
It's not as easy as that, but that's what I've
heard. I think the game's won and lost at Wan-Bissaka versus Pulisic and Pogba Khan.
I don't know how much.
That's what I think the battle
is. I don't know how much people are going to put pressure on. How much pressure people are going to put on Pulisic in terms of our fans, but also you guys are like, oh, we've got Maguire now, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, and Shaw. I think Shaw is your weak point in that. So you've got Pedro on Shaw. I think Pedro wins that battle.
See, when we say he's our weak point...
I think we put Giroud up top because, obviously, Maguire and Lindelof. Lindelof is more of like a European sort of style. And then
Giroud could bully Lindelof.
Is what I mean. And then we put Tammy Abraham on in the 60th, 70th minute. Or Batshuayi, both decent pre-season.
But equally, you just said you bring Tammy Abraham, we bring on Greenwood... And we bring on, if for pace, purely nothing else, you might not have it necessarily in the final third, but Daniel James in the last 10 minutes would cause teams problems because of how he'll just run at them. That's why he's in that team.
Like I think Azpilicueta reads the game very well, though. Like, very well.
Who?
Azpilicueta.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah,
he's probably one of the best.
Is he your captain for this?
Yeah. He was last season as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Gary Cahill's been released. Well, not released, end of contract. Don't know if he's going anywhere, but I think that's... he's getting old, but he reads the game well, so his pace is sort of like when Ferdinand and Terry and everyone else got older. They just drop back and like they watch the game.
Before I forget as well, get your questions in, and we will be coming to the questions as
give
well
give the video a like
and also
and subscribe
if you would like one of these mugs. Then if you just go and retweet, I put it on my Twitter, it's also on Paddock's Twitter. Just go and retweet the that we're live, one person every single week on a brew, because we thought we're having a brew. Join us for a brew. We'll give some mugs away. If you would like a Stretford Paddock mug, just go retweet it and I'll pick someone a little bit later. How about that?
One thing I do want to
go retweet it and see what happens.
So Tammy Abraham has had a good preseason. 2 goals, 1 assist in his like 4 games that he's played. And then you look at Greenwood and the kid's sensational, right? But he's also had a good preseason. And you were talking the other day how he should start against Chelsea, but he's probably not going to start.
Yeah.
So when you were laughing at me earlier, oh, you've got Tammy Abraham up front, what's he going to do? Like, it's the same sort of situation, isn't it?
It's not, because Tammy Abraham's 21.
If anything, he'll be more physically built, right?
Yeah, but he's been like that since he was 10.
No, just listen. So If he's had a good pre-season, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the quality or whatever, okay? If he's had a good pre-season, they deserve a chance to start, okay?
Yep, I'd agree.
So, when you're laughing and stuff, and the guy scored so many goals last season in the Championship.
In the
like,
Championship.
So many goals.
How many would Rashford score in the Championship?
A disgusting
I don't know.
A disgusting
I don't know.
Number.
How many do you think... honestly, how many do you think he would score in the Championship? 30.
Very high 20s. 28.
I Which is what Tammy did.
I think he'd break 30. To get Rashford.
30, do you think?
Rashford in the Championship, I think he'd break 30. That, they wouldn't be able
Rashford,
to deal
with him. Rashford, we're talking they about Greenwood.
Oh, Greenwood?
Yeah.
At 94.
No, Rashford.
I play a lot of games in the Championship. All right, okay.
But Rashford had...
You play a lot of games in the Championship?
The thing between Tammy and Rashford then is Rashford's had more experience because he... If... Is it Martial who got injured?
Yeah,
for Rashford to come in. If Martial doesn't get injured, Tammy and Rashford are at the same sort of point in their career.
Very true. They're not.
But
if,
he did
if that happened... So the only way... But this is why the youth system in England, I think, is so stupid because... We're good enough to play in like the Bundesliga or whatever, yeah. But you're not good enough to play in the Premier League.
Deal. He would not, if he hadn't have had the balls, he would still be sitting there playing 23s now for City.
And James
and
Sanchez.
No one would know who he is.
No, but this is the stupid thing. Well. The amount of talent that's come through Chelsea in recent years and haven't even like made it, and probably the same for United, that if they just get the same chance that Sancho's had in the Bundesliga but in the Premier League. They do something.
To be fair,
they progress on their career. But because they stagnate in the 23s, like Nathaniel Chalobah, right? Class player, class centre mid. He stagnated in the 23s, got like a few appearances in his last season for Chelsea. He's gone to Watford, he's had an injury, okay? But like, it sort of halted his progress.
Yeah.
He would be so much better now if you give him that 19, 20,
you
give him that opportunity.
You get to see whether they pop in and do something. Januzaj. Massive amount of prospect, one young player of the year coming through, was given an opportunity, looked sensational against Sunderland, looked sensational under David Moyes, full stop, really. It turns out when you get a tactical manager, and this is where the manager has a huge influence on a player's career. Yeah. Because if David Moyes, I mean, we didn't want to keep him, but if David Moyes had a...
The contract
had
finished the other day, didn't he?
He only ended like 2 months ago, didn't he?
Exactly.
No, about 6 weeks ago. If David Moyes had a stayed, you don't know what would have happened with Januzaj because of the way David Moyes treated and played him. When Louis van Gaal came in, he was like, right, okay, off the ball is what I want you to do, Adnan. And he was like...
You what?
What are you on about?
I have to work off the ball?
Yeah, because David Moyes' team talks was like, Adnan, enjoy the game. Right, lads, here's what we're going to do. So... I think that certain players can handle that responsibility. I know Rashford's one that's somehow managed to skate through with Mourinho, who you know, so people will go, oh, he played him every game. He didn't like him. He signed someone every window to replace the guy.
Think,
Zlatan,
so do you
Lukaku,
Solskjaer,
Sanchez.
Yeah, I think that if you'd left it another year with, say, Mourinho, which I say Mourinho was going to have, for whatever reason, we won something. He was given another year. I'd have genuinely been concerned, and I would have thought. I think that Rashford might have actually left.
So, do you think now with Solskjaer and Greenwood,
no comment.
Do you think Greenwood would be get a chance under Solskjaer? Because a lot of the things Solskjaer said in his press conference, especially towards the end of last season, where he's like, "Oh, the youth. I really like the youth."
Greenwood's
and he didn't play them until like he gave him like 10 minute cameos and whatnot. Like,
well, again, how do
he
we
just
know
says stuff.
The board
to
haven't
please.
Said we need to sell these lads.
Yeah, but a lot of the time he just say.
What was the biggest game of Solskjaer's reign? So far,
the PSG.
And okay, who plays?
And what? Who did he bring off the bench?
Yeah,
he brought Chong and Greenwood off.
Greenwood
which is
came
ridiculous.
In the 90th minute.
Yeah,
before...
but their pressure—the fact that they came on. And
no, it was
cool.
A bit earlier than that. It was in the 80s, I think. But either
late
way, 80s. he was chasing a goal.
Yeah,
and he brought on.
Or do you think he brings?
Year old.
Do you think he brings him on there though because he thinks right, it's over. So
no, I think.
Or do you think he's gone?
He wants young.
This guy can change the game for me.
Yes,
I think a little bit of both. I don't think it's 100% either, but he brought him on. That's the proof is in the pudding.
So do you think under Solskjaer, Mason will learn quite a lot? Do you think Solskjaer will be sort of mentor?
Especially as a striker.
And he'll improve him?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I said earlier with Ross Barkley and Lampard.
No, because I said what makes him a better manager? You said I'm talking about mentoring someone.
No, but that's what I mean. That's why. No, I said Ross Barkley will improve under Lampard because Lampard is that high of a quality
of a player. I think that's fair, but...
So I think Greenwood would improve.
It's all well and good coaching players individually, but you have to be a good manager on a team scale.
I think you need competition as well.
Yeah, you need
like,
competition.
You need players at the top of their game for these like massive clubs like Chelsea and United. But at United, who do you actually have up front if Lukaku goes? Rashford and Greenwood.
Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood.
Those are our
three. Martial's a winger, though.
And Sanchez.
No, Martial's a left forward.
Before you just named a forwards, they're not like a full-blown striker.
Correct.
Which is what Greenwood is.
But
when Greenwood saw Greenwood, what was the game I came to for the 18s? Where you were like, watch him just drop back, and he sort of plays like a 10 rather than a 9. So that's something he sort of needs to get out of his game before he goes into men's.
That's also because at 18s he's the best player on the pitch, and he's like,
just give me the ball.
Literally.
He could be playing defensive mid, pick up the ball, run to the other end.
Yeah. So.
Mason Mount will get minutes under Lampard as well.
Minutes in place,
and I think he's a quality player. He's a brilliant player. And I think he's shown that under Derby.
He's excellent at producing these quality English players.
And you've got a lad in the academy at the moment called Billy Gilmore, Scottish centre attacking mid. And I think he'll do bits if he gets the opportunity.
We need to address the thumbnail before everyone moves.
That's actually a really good point.
It's a great thumbnail.
Oh, brilliant. From Robert.
Rob's done an absolute masterpiece with this thumbnail and probably stitched me right up. The Maguire greater than Van Dijk. The transfer fee's bigger.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean in the grand scheme of things? Because
more pressure.
It does mean more pressure.
Which
because
inflation in his English.
Is now that was what I was coming to. For me, he's not as good as Van Dijk. There's not a large amount between them. Like, if it's not ridiculous stats, to say he's a top tier centre half in England.
They're good at different things.
Stats aren't like everything, but if you look at them from when this season for Maguire. And then Van Dijk before he went to Liverpool from Southampton.
Well, I can give you this season, just full stop. Actually.
That alone is so similar. And like this season, they're not far apart either. I think he's brilliant.
Goals, 4 for Van Dijk, 3 for Maguire. Duel success, 76 to 73. Not a lot in it. Minutes per duel won is identical, 14 minutes. Minutes per headed clearance is a little bit quicker, 30 to 34 on Van Dijk's favour. Minutes per interception, quite a bit quicker on Maguire, 70 to 84. Dribbles attempted, 21 to 12.
But when you see the minutes per headed clearance and you're like, oh, there's a bit in between that. Teams play different against Leicester because they're not trying to like go over the top. Whereas with Liverpool, like a lot of the bottom half teams are just trying to like play hoofball and get it over and in.
And who's number one for aerial duel victories? As a defender in the Premier League, it's Maguire.
Which is, and I was trying to say this to people as well, when people were saying Wan-Bissaka, of course he's got better stats for a defender because he's going to have more trade because he plays for Crystal Palace. But you're like, yeah, he does have more trade, but he's winning 94 or 96, I can't remember what percent. Which was like 20% more than the nearest fullback, which I think might have been Trent Alexander-Arnold with 77 or 74 or something like that, which is, it's sensational. And I think I mentioned it on one of the videos earlier, it's probably the full-time Devils one. When we signed Wan-Bissaka, people were chirping up about the fee constantly. Do you hear anyone talking about the fee no more?
Fans, obviously, you care about like how much your club's expenses and stuff like that.
Fair away.
Right. I just don't get why people are so arsed about the price. Because it's not your money that you're spending. And I understand that you want your club to make a positive turnover, but the amount of clubs that don't
give a shit.
No, but the amount of clubs that don't make a good turnover is ridiculous. But if your club's investing in it and whatnot, I know it's a bit of a dodgy subject with United fans, but like Abramovich put so much money into Chelsea.
That's what you want to know.
I don't care how much we buy Kovacic for, 50 million or whatever it was for. I don't rate him that much, right? But we sort of needed a centre mid option, especially with like the options we've got. He's a good depth. Like he'll be a great bench player for me because I reckon Kante and Jorginho start. And then you've got Mount, Kovacic on the bench.
It's a good midfield.
Yeah, it's a good midfield. So
Leicester's is better.
That £50 million
Madison
isn't coming out of my pocket.
Indeed,
nothing. It doesn't affect you whatsoever. So £80 million for Maguire. Just it doesn't affect you. You've signed a good centre half.
I was talking
There's so much. The only thing I find funny is the fact that because he's English, he costs more than Van Dijk.
I think that's the case. He's probably about 60 mil if he was.
If he was Dutch,
He's worth 60 mil. Like, I think no question about that. I think it's the English question.
What Nathan Ake, Eddie Howe said to Leicester about Nathan Ake is like, yeah, if you want him, it's. I think he's over £75 million pounds now.
Well done, Eddie.
I like Nathan Ake, but that's mental.
I like Eddie Howe as well.
My next door neighbour asked me the other day. He watches all the videos, so hello, Wilf, how you doing? And he was saying, oh shit, I lost my point now with what he was going to say. He was talking about the value of the player. This was it.
Yeah.
And he was saying, that's a crazy amount of money. And I'm like, it is, but transfer fees have been crazy my entire life. Matt Busby famously quit over the price of Brian Robson because, like, no player should be worth £1 million. I'm out, and resigned as president of the club in 1981, I think it was, or 1980 when we signed.
Imagine
Brian
what
Robson.
He'd be doing now.
Right, but Brian Robson
is rolling in his grave.
So you have to paint this as the turnover. What is the club turnover? I think Dennis Law was more than 55% of the club's turnover at the time, and it was 240 grand, right? Which means we were only turning over like 450 grand. He was more than 50% of our turnover. Robbo was more than 50% of our turnover. I think Rio Ferdinand was like somewhere in that kind of ballpark as well. Maguire's, like, for someone to be 50% of our turnover now, there are 300 and some million pound players.
I think it's actually more because I remember when Atletico Madrid signed João Felix, what was it? What did they spend?
Ridiculous amount.
But, and where you go, what?
Yeah, so for us, for us to have spent that much money in terms of the same percentage of turnover, we would have had to have spent £333 million on it. That's
how much United make.
And it's not like he's not going to slot in straight away. It's not like he doesn't play on Sunday.
No, so 130 million on Maguire and Wan-Bissaka.
So if you were to list your starting 11, just off the top of your head, it'd be De Gea, Shaw, Lindelof, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka. Yeah. So there's your back five. Well, it's back four, but
pretty
like,
sorted,
do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's your defence.
Let me get tricky.
Sorted. And then when you move up, that's where United this season they've needed to buy a centre half. Not a centre half, a centre mid.
Longstaff is likely.
I think this as well. I think Longstaff will come in.
You know what?
I don't think you'll be getting Fernandes.
We will end up paying £50 million.
Nah.
No, our backs are going to be against the wall. We're going to be without a good DM.
We're going to put 30 on the table, and Mike Ashley will be like, that's a lot of them big fucking mugs.
Would you spend £30 million on Longstaff?
No, but like don't think. I think Ghana,
that's when you
Levy, they're very good players, but they still probably. I mean, and you know, Longstaff's not got that much more over them, a handful of games, but he has got a few more years on them. And do you know what? I didn't get anything about Longstaff, so I was like, let me go and actually watch this little knobhead and try and figure out what it is. So I tried to break down a few of things what it was. Do you know the thing that stands out to me? When you see the
what,
goal
Stephen?
We conceded, I'm going to tell you.
Wow!
When you watch how Matic was terrible picking the ball up, and we've also seen Fred doing this as well.
Yeah,
turning with the ball with his back to goal, taking it from the goalkeeper and turning into midfield. That is what Longstaff excels at.
I think the thing with Fred is right.
Takes it under pressure.
We never replaced
when we used to share the office with Dave, right? And Dave was like, "Oh, Fred, he's going to be class." And then, like, he played his first few in pre-season or whatever, and he was pretty good. He was on the ball. He was nice few touches, nice dribbling, and then it didn't really work out for him. I think he could actually like become something in your midfield.
His concentration's not there though for me.
He thinks he's playing in the Ukrainian league.
Yeah, and also like,
do you think
he gets
the league's too
in...
fast for him?
Maybe that takes a while.
It takes players time to adapt to the Premier League.
And is that why we've gone full Brexit this year?
It might be, but also I think we are...
Because what's going on with that, honestly?
We're trying to be like all Manchester United homegrown players, which, you know, I'm not against, but I still, you know, if there's a better player outside of that sort of area, then go for him. Like, if we're being frank, there's better players we can get than Longstaff. And I think we need a good DM for right now, not a good DM for 5 years' time.
Yeah,
because that is the whole. We need a short term option and a long term option. Someone like a Partey would be like a good option.
With your signings this window, so James, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, do you think your starting 11 is stronger than Chelsea's on the weekend?
Yes,
not on paper.
I do. I definitely.
So where do you excel in terms of what positions do you beat our positions in terms of?
I think we've got a stronger defence and goalkeeper.
I think
depending on how we line up, we might have a more powerful attack.
I think Rashford, Martial up front beats Giroud and Pulisic, say, any day of the week.
I think there's not a lot.
I think people underrate Pedro.
I think the midfield is Chelsea.
I think Pedro's a hard worker.
We've got Willian as well off the bench, unless he starts and Pedro comes off the bench.
But this is where...
Is this where you think that they cancel them out? Both teams will cancel each other out? Do you think it'll be a goal fest?
I think it's going to be systematic. Whichever team plays as a team the best is going to come out on top
of
this.
It's going to be won by mistakes or brilliant moments.
So is that where you think then, if you think it's going to be made up on like how the team plays together? Obviously, United's team had longer to gel in terms of with the manager, but Chelsea are under this sort of honeymoon sort of period that Solskjaer had when he came in.
Don't always work that
way. Do you not think that could affect it?
Your honeymoon period, you still lost your two preseason games against the two weakest teams, Dundalk and the Japanese team. So if like, if you say Dundalk, it wasn't just a runabout.
Like it, the amount of youth players we put in there, that was just playing. That was just like
you've
minutes.
Seen some of our team sheets.
Yeah, come on, that was one of the games I watched.
Right, and it was actually a training game. Like it looked like a training game. It looked like we were just like when we had a set piece, it was like, right, this is the one we're going to try, lads. So if you just let the Dundalk defenders sort of like, you know,
to be fair,
have like
pre-season
a few,
should be treated up. Training.
It's sort of like that. Yeah. But then you're not saying like, oh, you've beat Barca. Jesus Christ, we've got to watch out for these. They're going to win the Champions League.
No, you're fair. That's my bad. I shouldn't be going on about that.
It's like you've lost against the Japanese side and you've lost against Dundalk and they're awful, but you did beat Barcelona, so we've got to watch out.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I'd be more interested if I'd seen Chelsea's games, is your system developing? Are you seeing that
I think it is.
To be fair, against Barcelona, it looked good. The way that they were playing was good. Again, like I told you, with the creativity on out wide and Pulisic coming inside, that really worked.
And it's a 4-2-3-1, and the two on the outside, when we have the ball, Barkley comes the 10, Jorginho becomes like the quarterback sort of role. He'll feed it out wide. The wingers, or the attacking midfielders in Pulisic and Pedro, will then come inside. So if Pulisic is coming in, Pedro either makes a run across the front post or round the back, and Giroud or whoever's in will drop towards like the back edge of the back of the 6-yard box. And that's how we sort of, that's a sort of like tactics and sort of like
give
phase.
Us your score prediction for Sunday then.
I think it's going to be 2-0 to Chelsea.
You're mental.
That's no, but
Paddy,
you guys
say gonna...
this.
I'm going 2-1 United. Last minute header from a corner by Harry Maguire.
Can you imagine?
I think Chelsea will be absolutely knackered. Dan James will get the ball last minute, run at the end of the field, goes out for a corner.
I think a penalty.
Ooh, maybe. Harry Maguire obliterates.
I think someone's
going to
bring James down for a penalty because he's too quick. And I'm going to say 2-0 United. And on that note, we are going to wrap it up. But go and give these guys a follow. Make sure to subscribe to Stretford Paddock. Go and retweet if you would like one of these mugs. And we will see you in the next one. Laters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.